Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Today, 13 years after he became the first defendant ever sentenced to death in a federal court in Massachusetts, Gary Lee Sampson returns to court for a new sentencing trial. Back in 2003, Sampson pleaded guilty to carjacking and stabbing two men. Jurors in the case unanimously recommended the death penalty for Sampson. But in 2011, U.S. District Judge Mark Wolf overturned that sentence because one of the jurors had lied during jury selection. Well, a new jury is now tasked with deciding Sampson's sentence, and jury selection began today in Boston Federal Court. With us now, with more, is Nancy Gertner. She's WBUR's legal analyst and a retired federal judge as well. Judge Gertner, good to have you back.
Nice to be here.
Okay, so tell us, what do you find most significant about the fact that Gary Lee Sampson's getting a new sentencing trial?
Well, I mean, what's significant is that there was juror misconduct. That was the basis of it. It doesn't happen very often. Typically, the moments when you hear about juror misconduct is when a juror doesn't disclose enough of their background. There's more of it today in the sense that social media has created opportunities for misconduct. Wasn't involved in the Sampson case, but that was just beginning as I left the bench. It was almost as if you had to tell jurors, you no longer had to tell them just, you know, don't buy the newspapers, don't turn on the radio. For your younger generation, you had to tell them to literally disentangle from the internet. Get off of Facebook, stop tweeting.
Yeah.
And that was a problem. It was a problem in Tsarnaev, for example.
Well, so in this case, they're retrying the entire sentencing phase of Sampson's trial, and the jurors will only have two options. Life in prison without parole or the death penalty, since it's still a federal case.
Right.
And so, I mean, I suppose he has the right to, in it, the entire sentencing phase being retried again. But jurors once again have to be, quote unquote, death qualified.
That's right. That's right. They have to. They're asked the question of whether or not their attitudes to the death penalty would substantially impair their ability to be fair. And what that typically means is you exclude those who say, I will impose the death penalty all the time. You know, I believe in it wholeheartedly. Would be and no matter what the evidence is, I would impose the death penalty, as well as those who said, I can never vote for death. And you have to pick a jury of people in between, those for whom death is a possibility that they would consider among all the options. But that's also a range from, I could impose the death penalty and that I'd be happy to do so, to I understand that I'd have to impose the death penalty, I would be reluctant.
Mm.
And the judge is essentially picking a jury in that band.
Yeah. But I wonder, is it going to be particularly challenging to seat an entire panel here? Because, I mean, as we introduced this, Sampson admitted and pleaded guilty to the killings back in 2003. And, of course, in the subsequent 13 years, there's been so much publicity about his case. I mean, doesn't that present a challenge of finding a jurors that are both death qualified and not compromised in other ways?
That is an extraordinary challenge. I don't know whether or not there was a change of venue in the Sampson case, but that is an extraordinary issue. Again, we're seeing some of the same things we saw in Tsarnaev. And death qualification there is a range of attitudes even within death qualification. Studies have shown that people who are death qualified also are pro-prosecution, anti-mitigation, a whole host of things. And the challenge of the judge would be to select who would be meet the death qualification standard, but also are not essentially death prone. Mm. I will choose the death penalty no matter what. And whether you can get how good you are at doing that will depend on how sophisticated and probing the voir dire is.
Mm. Well, Sampson is now 56 years old. It seems as if he's suffering from liver disease, hepatitis C, and he's also got high blood pressure. And his attorneys are already arguing that the death penalty is excessive. Now, are those considerations that the jury is likely to hear and should consider in their sentencing?
The concept of mitigation is really quite broad. The defense can introduce all sorts of issues having to do with his social background, to his health condition. When you think about it, you really do want mitigation to be broad because you want the jury to figure mercy into this as well. That's really what mitigation is about. What are the kinds of considerations that should bear on mercy? So sure, they will be hearing all of that. And that is the only thing that's being tried in this case. So that's what the case would be about. I understand that they've listed some 350 mitigating factors,
yeah,
and perhaps more.
More than 200 at least.
Yeah. So that this will be about him.
Well, in the last couple minutes that we have, minute and a half or so, Judge Gertner, I do want to ask you about another case that has been grabbing the headlines today, if I can say that. It's out of Braintree. It was originally reported by Channel 5 that the police chief there ordered an audit of the department's evidence room, and the audit found that guns had gone missing as well as drugs and about $70,000. And already prosecutors have had to throw out six cases this week. So some shades there, at least in terms of evidence about, you know, the massive issue with Annie Ducan and the former state chemist who tampered with evidence. I mean, what does this feel like? Every couple of months, you and I are talking about more problems with evidence.
Well, the takeaway, it seems to me, there are two things. One is, of course, what you do about these cases, and whether or not we've always regarded that the cure, the remedy for misconduct of this sort, is to dismiss the charges because the government can't be complicit in tainted evidence. The other takeaway may be a wider question about the drug war. What is it about stores of drugs and money, which is what drug prosecutions generate, that lead to this kind of conduct? You don't find, you know, the tainting of handwriting exemplars, but you do find issues of people, as the woman in Western Mass, you know, tasting the product. So should that get, is that part of the discussion, the wider discussion about the drug war?
And this, you were referencing Sonia Farag.
Sonia Farag, that's
Amherst,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Nancy Gertner is a retired federal judge, and she's a current Harvard Law School professor and WBUR's legal analyst as well. Judge Gertner, always good to talk with you.
Nice to be here.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.